Greetings to you all. I do so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to Matthew and chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We read the whole chapter, but we are considering verses 13 to 16. Matthew 16, verse 13 to 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." May God add a blessing to the reading and consideration of His word. The title of my message this morning is Two Questions from the Lord Jesus Christ. Two Questions from the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we go any further, I'd like to just say a few things regarding the context of this particular portion we are considering this morning. We see that at the beginning of chapter 15 of Matthew, there is a debate over tradition. The scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" Again, when we come to chapter 16, we see here that there is another debate. And here we see again the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to test the Lord Jesus Christ. And this time around, they begin by asking for a sign. They say, "Show us a sign from heaven." What is happening is that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his mission, and as he reveals himself to the people of that day, he is performing miracles. As we see in chapter 15, Jesus heals the Gentile woman's daughter. He doesn't just end there. We see from verse 29 that he heals so many other people. And apart from healing these people, we see that indeed he performs other miracles. And here we see that he feeds 4,000 people from verse 32 of chapter 15. So when we come to chapter 16 here, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees are coming to him, it is actually important for us to know that there is something that has been happening in the background. In other words, they have seen something of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have seen something different about this man, but they do not entirely believe he is the Messiah. This particular passage that we are looking at is also reflected or recorded in Mark. Mark says this conversation took place during the journey. Luke indicates that while he was praying and exclusively with his disciples, he now spoke to them these things. Matthew does not delve into that kind of information. But suffice to say that all these are pointing to one particular incident. And this is where the Lord Jesus Christ begins to address his disciples. These Pharisees and Sadducees were working together at this particular point in time. Something very strange, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees were long-standing enemies. But the fact that they come together here, we see that they've got something in common. And it is to question the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is not just to question the Lord Jesus Christ. They have something in common in that they do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so verse 1 to 4 of chapter 16 is actually talking about what is happening between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Pharisees and Sadducees. We see that the Lord indeed says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after these signs. The Lord responds to them, and in responding to them, He is giving them a hint that indeed they are far away from Him. We see the change of gear. Verse 5 to verse 12, Jesus cautions the disciples against false teaching. This false teaching is from these people, the Pharisees. In their teaching, they miss the point regarding salvation. In their teaching, they thought that indeed, by observing the law, doing all these things, that they were right before God. In other words, they missed the Savior Himself was right in their face. They missed the point that you need the Savior in order for you to be righteous before God. These people missed the point because they didn't understand who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And the Lord, seeing that this is the case with many, He now turns to His disciples. And this is where now, in revealing Himself and in driving this point to His disciples about His identity, we see the two questions. And this leads us even to the title of the sermon this morning, as I earlier on said. Two questions from the Lord Jesus Christ. Question number one is in verse 13 of chapter 16. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Question number 2, verse 15. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? These two questions were asked in order for us to see the true Savior, in order for us to see that He is revealed to us. And it is not just for them, it is for us as well. In other words, I'm just saying this morning that these two questions are to help us understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Well, this looks like one question. On face value, it is one question. Digging deeper, it is two questions. And you will see why. As we consider this passage, verse 13 to 16, and as we look at the two questions from the Lord Jesus Christ, we see that one, there is a general question, and this is what is found in verse 13. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And that is the first question. As the Lord begins to address this subject before His disciples. And all I'm saying is that the first one is a general question. It is general in the sense that He is saying, who do these people say that I am? It is general in the sense that the disciples have to give information regarding people's opinions and views. It is general in the sense that they did not speak from their own hearts and their convictions, but it was what was prevailing at that particular period. So it is a general question. That's what we see here. And in this question, we see that he uses something which he doesn't use in the second question, and it is to say the Son of Man. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This particular phrase or title, Son of Man, is something that we see him using for his identity. Like in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, Matthew chapter 9 verse 6, Matthew chapter 10 verse 23, and chapter 12 verse 8, he uses Son of Man. If we read from Daniel and chapter 17 and reading verse 13 to 14, we see this phrase used. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. When the Lord uses Son of Man, he is actually giving them a hint. He is giving us this hint that he is God. Because from Daniel and chapter 7, this phrase is not just used anyhow, but it is being used for someone who is special. Notice with me the wording in verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, with a capital S, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Beloved friends, when the Lord is talking to his disciples and he says Son of Man, he is already stating something. He is already announcing that he is not just like what people are thinking. Well, we must hurry on and examine this question, which is a general question that the Lord is asking his disciples. What prompted the Lord Jesus Christ to ask this general question? Jesus did not ask this question because he didn't know who he was. You know, there are people who do not know who they are, and so they would like to get a feeling of what people think about them, and then they can form what sort of a person they are. There are people who live in this unfortunate way, that they depend on the opinion of others, and then they can say that I am so and so because of what the world and what the people are saying. Well, this is not what prompted the Lord Jesus Christ to ask this question. He asked this question as an introduction to a more important follow-up question. This general question was an introduction to what is very important for these disciples. Inasmuch as it was an introduction, it is something that is very important even for us to explore. What do people say about the Lord Jesus Christ? This, beloved friend, is a question that the disciples did not even know where it was leading to. But we must hurry on and answer another question. We know what prompted Jesus to ask this question. It was because it was an introduction to a more important follow-up question. What was the answer to this question? We see it in verse 14. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or the one of the prophets. The disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what the world thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they begin by saying, some said John the Baptist. And why do you think people thought it was John the Baptist? They thought it was John the Baptist because they know John was a holy man, willing to die for his faith. And when they look at the Lord Jesus Christ, they think it is John the Baptist. They look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he is passionate about the preaching of the kingdom. He is passionate about bringing people into the kingdom. And this is what they saw about John the Baptist. And so they believe that John the Baptist raised from the dead, and that he has come, and that he has continued to preach what he was preaching, and regarding the kingdom of God. So some, looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, they saw John the Baptist. Others, looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, said it was Elijah. And this is what verse 14 says. Some said it was Elijah. Elijah, who was considered the greatest of Old Testament prophets. The Jews were expecting Elijah to return just before the Messiah came. Malachi 4 and verse 5 will tell you this. Some believe that Jesus was the forerunner, but not the Messiah. Some even thought he was Jeremiah. And again, when you look at the sequence here, they are just talking about prophets. They are talking about those who are speaking on behalf of God. They thought it was Jeremiah, a holy prophet, who was expected to return to earth just before the Messiah came. He was supposed to bring with him the tabernacle, the ark of the covenant, and the altar of incense, which he had hidden in the Mount Nebo before he died. Some believe this, according to their records. Still others thought it wasn't John, it wasn't Elijah, it wasn't Jeremiah, but it was just one of the prophets. And they believe it was a man of God, sent with a message for their time. For you know that prophets came with a message for people's time, so to speak, or appropriate message for the people living at that time. So they had all sorts of views about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we learn from this answer? What we learn is that all the answers which were given, or this answer, was complimentary. It was speaking goodwill about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is something that is showing us that the Jews at least believed him to be a great man. They believed that he was a holy man. This was something positive about their thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one thing that we learn there, complimentary. We also see that all these views elevated the Lord Jesus Christ above the status of an ordinary man. At least they thought he wasn't just like a common person. At least they thought that he was someone special. At least they had something positive to think and say about the Lord Jesus Christ.
What we learn negatively is this. It was entirely inaccurate, or it was somehow inaccurate. Inasmuch as they saw him as a prophet, inasmuch as they elevated him to a level of someone who is above man, we saw that it was inaccurate. We saw that that was not the complete understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that it was an understatement to just say that he was a prophet. In other words, what we also learn about this answer and how people thought is that this was insufficient knowledge to lead one to Christ. This was insufficient knowledge to cause someone to look at what is critical. They thought he was one of those people, special, but not good enough to be a Messiah. I must say, beloved friends and brethren, that we must just go a little bit into some of the passages, and just by way of mentioning that even as we have seen that these are complimentary comments, that they are positive comments, in the Bible, we see that not everyone thought positively about the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in his day, some thought he was a great man, some thought he was a nobody, some thought he was an evil man. For instance, John chapter 9, verse 24. Some thought he was a sinner. Matthew 12 and verse 24. Some thought he was a devil. John 10 and verse 20. Some thought he was a madman. Beloved friends, even some of his brothers had harsh things to say about him, like in John chapter 7, verse 3 to 5. So we see that in his day, people said he was all sorts of things. What do people say today about the Lord Jesus Christ as a way of applying this or bringing it home? Yes, in Jesus' day, people thought he was like a prophet. Yes, some thought he was an evil man. But what do people say today about the Lord Jesus Christ? People living around this world today, what is their opinion concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, some do believe that he is not God. Some believe that he is not God, but the Son of God. These people deny the deity of Christ, that he is not God. They say he is just one of the prophets. And so they teach their congregants, their followers, that he is simply a prophet. Some indeed do teach that Jesus Christ is simply our elder brother. Some do teach that the Lord Jesus Christ was not more than a mortal man. Was no more than a mortal man who was favored by God to be an example for the Israelites. They say Jesus was a prophet. And this is about one of the religions. They acknowledge that he was somehow important, but they don't believe that he is their Messiah. So they say he was chosen by God to be an example for the Israelites. They also deny that he was crucified on the cross. They know that he will return, but he is not God. Still others, and we are talking about another religion, they say Jesus is just one of the million gods, because they believe there are so many gods, and they say that Jesus is one of them. Others believe that Jesus was executed because he practiced sorcery. All sorts of strange things about him. But the question is, this morning as we meet, if the disciples were to describe what you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, how would they describe you? Would they describe you as one who believes that the Lord Jesus Christ is just a special prophet? Will they describe you as one who knows and they have full knowledge that the Lord can perform wonders and miracles and it ends there? Can they describe you as one who knows that he is returning again and it ends there? This general question revealed what the people thought. But beloved friends, the general question was something that was used, like I said, in order to ask the most important question. But you and I can still learn from this general question, because this general question exposes people's minds about Christ. This general question exposes where you are this morning, whether you are in this category of people who do not have sufficient knowledge and the real picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people who possess this knowledge about Christ, which does not lead to life but death. We must hurry on. There was a general question. Secondly, there was a personal question. Verse 15. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And notice with me that this is a second question. And I say it is a second question because it is not exactly the same as the first one. Why do I say so? One, something is missing. He does not include the title the Son of Man. He removes it for a reason, and it is not by error. And therefore we see that it is slightly different from the first one. But we also notice that it is different in the sense that he says you. He doesn't say what they, he says what you say that I am. Beloved friends, this question is a personal question. Who do you say that I am? We notice when we go to the original that the you is both plural and emphatic. It is like people have been describing casually, and the disciples, to be specific, have been describing casually what people think about the Lord Jesus Christ out there. And then all of a sudden, the Lord begins now to address them, and he uses something emphatic. But who do you say that I am? Friends, when it comes to so many things in life, and especially the Word of God, we like thinking about other people. When we hear something, we are quick to relate with, or to relate that to someone who said a particular thing, someone who is prone to doing such things. But here the Lord Jesus Christ now brings it to the attention of the disciples on a personal level. Who do you say that I am? This question is different, and I must emphasize, the difference here is very important to note. One of the things that will help us to see that there is a difference is the word "but." The word "but." But who do you say I am? And in his mind, the Lord Jesus Christ, he expects his disciples to have a different view from that of the people of the world. He is expecting them to think differently. And indeed, those who are God's children, have a different view altogether about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is different from the people of this world who do not regard Christ, as we saw, as Messiah, as God. He says, but this small word suggests a difference. Our Lord indeed presupposes that his disciples would not have the same thoughts as men of those days had. They would not follow the spirit of the age, because even now we have people who teach about the Lord Jesus Christ. They shape their views and they shape people's views about the Lord Jesus Christ in a cultured way, and they teach people something which is not straight. Indeed, Spurgeon, quoting him, said, our Lord presupposes that his disciples would not have the same thoughts as men had. They would not follow the spirit of the age and shape their ways and views by those of the cultured persons of the period. Spurgeon said, beloved friends, what is different about this question is as follows, putting it in a more orderly way. It was a personal question. It was a question directed to individuals. It was a question to be answered by individuals. It was a pointed question. It was a question that cannot be avoided. It was a soul-searching question. Yes, the world believes this about me, but what about you? In other words, they had to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and indeed answer this question. They must know why they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They must know why they are different from the world. It is a question that demanded introspection. It was a question that demanded that one should stop and think about what they think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, beloved friend, this is a personal question that I ask you this morning. What do you say, and who do you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is? If the Lord was to stand in our midst today, to stand before us wherever we are, and said, who do you say that I am? What would be our answer? Well, this important question was answered in verse 16 by the representative of the disciples. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. And here, when he talks about Christ, which is also Christos, it means the anointed or the anointed one. Now, here we see that Simon Peter answering is not just answering for himself. He is a representative of the disciples. He is speaking on behalf of the disciples, and his answer is representative of what they are all thinking. He says, you are the anointed one. Israel anointed people with oil to set them apart for a special role. And these are people like prophets, priests, or kings. Anointing indicated not only that God had chosen this person, but also that God would give the person ability to fulfill the role. And so in answering this particular question, this man called Peter is saying that you are different from all the prophets that people have been thinking about. You are different from Jeremiah. You are different from even these others that people were thinking, John the Baptist, name them. He is actually saying that you are separated, you are above them. And here, he is indeed saying, he is one, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been given the ability to fulfill the role of the Messiah. And this is an answer, or the first part of the answer, which gives us a clear understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. The Lord Jesus Christ is one who has been set apart by the Lord, or by God the Father. He is one who was prepared even to come to this earth and die for our sins. Yes, he has been the anointed one, but also given the ability to fulfill the role. Beloved friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is not just like any other prophet, but he is one who was sent to come to this earth to come and die for the sins of many. He is one that we read about in the famous John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Yes, he is the anointed one. For there is no other name that has been given to us upon which we can be saved. And in answering that you are the Christ, he is actually affirming what we see here. And this is that he is special. You are the Christ is going a step further. Not just a step further, a giant step. And this is the step that they missed, as they thought he was just like any other prophet. They missed the point that he was the anointed one. Beloved friend, Peter was simply saying, you are the one sent from God to save us. You are the one that we have been waiting for. You are the one to redeem humanity from the captivity of sin. You are the one to give humanity eternal life. You are the one to give meaning to people's lives. You are the one that indeed we have been waiting for, and besides you, and apart from you, there is no one coming. Jesus was much more than John the Baptist or Elijah the prophet. He was more than a national reformer. He was more than a miracle worker. Jesus was and is the Christ, the Messiah. He also says something about him, not just that you are the Christ, the Son, but he says the Son of the living God. We first heard that Jesus is the Son of God at his baptism. This is my beloved Son. Jesus has spoken of himself as the Son. And here we see that Simon Peter exclusively and clearly mentions that he is the Son of God, again giving us the understanding that he is different and he is the only one. He says the Son of the living God. Beloved friend, this answer gives us a clear indication that he is very different from any other prophets, different from any other things that you can think about. What, you know, these people were referring to, prophet or Messiah or whatever it was. The living God contrasts with the lifeless idols that would be mentioned or found in Caesarea Philippi. When he says you are the Son of the living God, he says you are truly the Son of God. You are truly the Son of the true God. Beloved friends, these two phrases are what we should follow in terms of answering this question. Who is Jesus to us? He is, as Peter says, the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. What do we learn from the answer of the disciples? We learn that there was more seriousness in the way they answered. This was a more serious answer, a more thoughtful answer, and more personal. When someone asks you today, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Or better still, the Lord Jesus Christ himself asks you today, who do you say that I am? Would you be able to answer like the disciples in a more serious way, more thoughtful way, and more personal way, that you are my Savior, that you are the Christ, that you are the one I've believed in, that you are the one who has saved me, and that you are the one who is coming back? We live in a society where Christianity sometimes is just fashionable. It is a distant thing. It is something that we live with as fashion, yet it is not personal. It is something that we can practice and say we do, but indeed we are far away from the Lord in that we have never met Him and we are not born of the Spirit. We learn from their answer that they had an encounter with Him because it was a serious one. We learn from this that indeed they purely understood who the Lord Jesus Christ was to them. His disciples paid more attention to who he was. Beloved friends, do you pay attention to who the Lord Jesus Christ is? You call yourself a Christian, but do you pay attention to what it means when you say he is my Savior? True disciples' knowledge of Christ differs from that of men of this world. Men of this world have got this knowledge about Jesus Christ, which is distant, which is just like any other information that you may find in the encyclopedia or news around. But with those who are saved, it is something that they hold dearly. This is a conviction, in other words. It is not just information out there, but it is personal and part of them. In other words, they believe and they hold it dear. Beloved friends, what shall we say in conclusion? And as we wind up, I would like us to think about a few things. The two questions that Jesus asks his disciples are very important. And the first question is that of what people think about him today. There are those today who are very distant from the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, distant in their relationship with him, distant in what indeed it means for the Savior to come on earth and die for the sins of many. They are distant from this particular information. It is not personal. It is not something that they fully understand. It is something out there on the market, and they understand just like he is, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is a special man. When the Lord is saying that, yes, now it is to the benefit of these particular disciples, but it is also to the warning of those who are hearing today. Do not be like these people who never understood the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was the Messiah. Do not be like one of these people who were carrying on in their religious activities, yet miss the point of understanding who the Lord Jesus Christ was. Beloved friends, the world describes the Lord Jesus Christ so many ways, in so many ways. But the question is, who do you say that he is this morning? Do you have a confession like Peter, a confession that comes from your heart. And I must suggest to you this morning that if you lack this kind of answer and conviction, you are far away from God. If you have just mere knowledge and you've had no encounter where you can say that you are the Christ, you are my Savior, and that you are the Son of the living God, if you will not separate Christ from the great men of this world and hold him supreme in your life, if you will not believe in him as the only Savior of your life, you have missed the point. Beloved friend, you may be a Christian, but probably you have taken for granted this Savior. Probably you have become too familiar with this Savior. Probably you don't care that he died for you, and you have forgotten that he suffered for you, and you have forgotten that he's above all these prophets. I bring this reminder to you this morning. These two important questions from the Lord Jesus Christ: who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the second question, who do you say that I am? That this might cause you once again this morning to think about Christ. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, it is about time that you gave your life to the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. He came to die for the sins of many. And we see in verse 17 that indeed he reveals himself to many, and that he revealed himself, or God revealed this to Simon. He was blessed because it was revealed to him. Indeed, God wants this to be revealed to you this morning, that he is above a prophet. He wants it to be revealed to you this morning that he is the Son of God. He wants it to be revealed to you this morning that he is not just any other ordinary person. And indeed, you'll be blessed this morning if this is revealed to you and you see it. I pray this morning that we'll be like the hymn writer who says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. This is a kind of conviction that gives you confidence here on earth. A kind of conviction that you have even when it is time to go home, that you are on this solid rock. And this was the conviction of Peter and the disciples. How I pray this morning that you may be like them. You are the Christ and the Son of the living God.